morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome. Oh, the choir are wondering about moving, if you're wondering what the pause is. Right. So, warm welcome to the service, whether you're here or at home or at Carr's Court. Now, those of you who aren't here won't know what's happening. There was a wedding here yesterday, and we're surrounded by some beautiful banners all about love. Now, the choir are not facing in the right direction, so there might be a pause while they decide whether to move or not. We also warmly welcome Chris to lead our service. And there is just one note. It's all to do with the wedding, which Bill is going to give.
It's a very short notice. I need some volunteers to put everything back straight. It could take up to 2 hours. I'm suggesting if I could have one or two people available for 2 hours this afternoon, please see me after the service. If we can't do it this afternoon, we have to look at tomorrow morning. We do have a deadline of 1:30 tomorrow because of In Together. Thank you very much.
So, the choir now will start by leading us in 691, and the words will appear on the screen if you wish to join in.
Thank you, choir. Do you want to move over or are you going to stay there? Yes, please do. You don't get a crick in your neck. Good morning and welcome on this bank holiday Sunday, this warm and lovely day. Good day to be inside together, I think, today. Yes. Today we're thinking about Paul and carrying on in Ephesians, but we're at the end of Ephesians now. And today we're thinking about how Paul encourages the Ephesians to be strong in the Lord, talking about putting on the armour of God and to persevere in prayer. First off, what I would like us to do is to say together some words from the psalm. One of the psalms for today is Psalm 84, with some well-known words that I'm sure you'll recognise. So please could you respond with heart and love and voice with the words in yellow type. Thank you. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, happy are those who live in your house, ever singing your praise. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Behold our shield, O God, look on the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. He bestows favour and honour. No good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, happy is everyone who trusts in you. Thank you. We're going to start with a rousing song, Sing of the Lord's Goodness. So let's stand and sing about being in God's house, about having joy in worship. Sing of the Lord's goodness. Thank you, ladies, on the music. It was lovely. Going to come to our prayers of thanks and praise. So did you know that being thankful, expressing gratitude, actually makes us happier? When we think of good and happy times, something happens in our brain that can make us smile, make us feel better. So what I want us to do is to think of good news that we might have had this week. What are we thankful for? We used to do this a lot in church, but not so much these days. So I thought we'd just revive this little practice. So sometimes when we look back on the week, we think, oh yes, what's been good? What have we to be thankful for? I know Joan's got something to be thankful for, haven't you? Lovely wedding here yesterday, wasn't it? Beautiful. I bet you're very proud and thankful, yes. And I know the family are still celebrating elsewhere, aren't they? So lovely wedding of Helen and Jonathan yesterday. Oh, you're glad that she's okay. Oh, sorry. And it's Sue? Sorry, the name is? Susan, yes. Well, thank goodness that she is. Thanks for that.
The Bruce and family have arrived back from holiday safely.
Good.
And well.
And a good. Yeah, well, not ill. Yes, that's good. Yeah, Margaret.
Some people
Oh.
She's had a pacemaker.
Oh, right.
And she's home and looking relieved to be home and very relaxed.
Oh, thanks for that, Margaret. Thank you. So sometimes things don't go so well, but there's a good outcome, isn't there, that we have to give thanks for. Yeah, Julie. Doctors, nurses and flowers. They can all make us smile, can't they? Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Rog?
Emily's moved back to civilization.
Yeah. Yes. Our daughter was moved back from the south up north, and yes, so we're very busy now. But yes, we give thanks that she now has a house to live in up here. So that was, it's been complicated ups and downs, but yes, that's great. We give thanks for that. And perhaps exam results. I know Emma's son Gamaliel is celebrating his Spanish GCSE. Yes, yes. So she's very pleased, and obviously they're very proud about that.
Great.
Yes.
I want to say thank you very much to Gwyn and singers yesterday. They really did help, and they were gorgeous. They really were helpful.
Yes, you. I'd second that, Joan. It was great, wasn't it? Thank you. So there you go. Oh, see what happens when we start to share news. We find out so much about one another, don't we? So that was great. So let's bring all that into our prayers and say thank you for all that makes us smile or that we're grateful for. Let's thank God. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for all the things we have mentioned today. Things we have celebrated in the life of this community, in the lives of our families. And although sometimes things have not been so good, we are grateful for good outcomes and people that help us along the way. Gracious God of power and strength and love and compassion, you are more than enough to meet our every need. You only want the best for us. Take us as we are, however we feel today. Loving God, whenever we gather together in your presence, we come to learn more about your strength, your truth, righteousness. So we come to our next hymn, Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. I'd like us to take up our offering at the end of this hymn. So we'll sing the whole hymn through, and then Joan's going to play on afterwards while we take the offering. So just to prepare you, that's what's going to happen. Thank you. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word.
Thank you.
Gracious God, loving God, accept these gifts as a token of our giving back to you for all we receive. Bless them, bless our money, bless our time that we give, and may it be used lovingly and willingly in your service. Amen. We've got a bit of a quiz first, Richard,
okay,
if you want
fine.
To sit down.
Yes.
You might want to sit down down here so you can join in, yeah. Actually, come and sit on this side. I think they need a bit of help. Yeah, we're going to have a bit of a question of sport now. Does anybody like question of sport? I'm going to put some images up, and I think we'll have Gwyn's team over here, and now we'll have Richard's team on this side. So, you know, we've got Matt and Phil going on here. So I want us to... we've got some sports equipment coming on the screen. I want us to see if you can name the sport that this equipment belongs to. So have we got Avril here this morning? Yes, we have. I've got to do this carefully. Right, yes, we'll start with Gwyn's team. So... Can you name that sport from that piece of equipment? Oh, God. What's that?
Rock climbing.
Correct, rock climbing. So.
Don't have to act it out.
No, we don't have to act it out. So, Roger, can you keep score, please?
One.
Rock climbing, right. The next one. Oh, Richard's team. What might that sport be from? Can you see it? Margaret, is it what? I think it could be, but it actually isn't. It's a full, like, suit, body suit almost, isn't it? Anybody else think? One more chance. No. I'm going to throw it over.
Is it power biking?
Yes, I'll give you that. Yes, mountain biking. Yes, it's from the mountain biking. So, two to Gwyn's team. That was quite hard. Sorry about that. Oh, so this... Now, you've got to name both sports in that one to get the point. Is there... You can take it if they don't get it, Christine. Okay, can you give me your answer? 3, 2, 1.
Well, sprinting and distance. Sprinting.
Yeah, correct. So we've got a marathon shoe and a sprinting shoe there. So they're to do with running. Oh, so sorry, Richard's team. This might be hard as well. Roger, you might know this one. Oh, I'll give you a clue. Let's put on your hands. No, not boxing. No. No idea? There's a little clue there on the right-hand side there. No? Okay, no answer? No? Okay, Gwyn's team, do you know? Avril knows.
Hockey
goalkeeping gloves, yes. Yes, there's a stick in there. Right. Okay, how about that one? This is Gwyn's team. Skiing, correct. Okay. That's skiing helmet. And final one. Right, see if you can get this one. Lacrosse, yes. So 1 point. So there we go. Right, well, I think we know the winners. Sorry, you've got some bad ones here. So... Okay, we're going to have our reading, and I'm just going to leave those up for the time being until we have the words. The focus for our reading today comes from Ephesians, the end of Ephesians chapter 6. And it's the end of a letter to the Christians of the very young church in Ephesus. And of course, Paul spent quite a lot of time there on his missionary journeys. And there's a lot of military language using the metaphor of armour. But of course, these are symbols that the Ephesians would have recognised because Ephesus was a proud and influential Roman city. So as we listen to the reading that Richard's going to give us, I think it's helpful to think of when you hear the word you, it's plural. It's not individual, it's plural. So Paul's not speaking just to individuals, but he's speaking to a community, preparing for the struggles of the day and the time. So listen carefully to all the items of armour. Most of them are defensive, except one, and see which one you think is not the defensive one. Thank you. Thanks, Richard.
Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly, as I must speak.
Thank you, Richard. So there's a lot of battle image in that reading, and perhaps there's been discussion over the years whether that's helpful for us as Christians. So I guess one of the reasons I put those images up earlier, I was trying to think of some images for today that we could maybe connect to the reading. Just a bit of fun for today, but should we have them up, John? Let's have them up again and let's see what we can get out of this. So so first of all, we had the rock climbing belt, didn't we? So I thought with the rock climbing belt that although we might have to climb up the mountain on our own, you can see on the belt, they've got carabiners where we fasten to other people, don't we? We often have, rock climbers often climb in teams with obviously people at the bottom helping or at the top. And Paul calls this the belt of truth, not the rock climbing belt, but he refers to a belt of truth. And it's the Spirit that helps us to discern the truth. Sometimes things sound like the truth, but only belief and faith can help us to know God's truth. And therefore act with integrity. That's why we've got unity and integrity up there. So to work together to do the right thing and not do the wrong thing. So that's the belt of truth, unity and integrity. So then we had the mountain biker's bodysuit. And Paul refers to the breastplate of righteousness. So, of course, mountain bikers go all over terrain, rough, smooth, narrow, wide, up, down, and obviously take a lot of knocks along the way, don't they? And it's like that with our Christian life, isn't it? We can take knocks, we can fall down, we have to stand up again. But in community, we have other people to help us to do that. And righteousness is about having right relationships, both with God and with other people. And when those are right, we can support each other and be strong to defend the rights of others. Defending justice and living well together is the strapline we've got for that one. And then we've got the shoes, feet ready for action. And I put two kinds of running shoes here, both the marathon and the sprint. On the marathon shoe on the left, you'll see it has cushioning and, you know, it helps us to go a long way. And of course, the spikes, or the, sometimes they're not spikes, they're rubber ones, they're ready for us to go into action. And sometimes we have to do that. We have to take quick decisions on behalf of other people. So the Christian life is often slow and steady, isn't it? Like a marathon. Sometimes we say it's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And sometimes the task may seem too big for us. But sometimes we need to be ready to go immediately, as I've said. But it's God and the Spirit that gives us that motivation and the gifts to go when... He gives us gifts to go where and wherever we need to go, to proclaim that gospel of peace, be it on our doorstep or in the world. So feet ready for action to proclaim the gospel of peace. So we'll have the next one. So then we had the hockey gloves. There's a bit of a mystery, this one, isn't it? The shield of faith, Paul calls it, the shield of faith. And if we go back to the Roman soldier imagery, of course the shields were put together in a line, so they were a strong defence all together. So I know I've played in goal at hockey, and I've had these gloves on my hand, and actually you shouldn't be on your own in the hockey goal. There should be other defenders with you to defend corners, or isn't that right, Avril? Often you do end up on your own, but when you've got a corner coming at you, you might have three or four people on the line with you that all run out to defend. And also these gloves are good at batting these balls away. So, but our shield of faith, but our faith and the shield is Jesus Christ. Spiritually, it's our faith in Christ's victory over evil that is our own protection against the darkness of the world that Paul refers to in that reading. And we can't deny that darkness and evil is around. We just have to look in the newspapers to know that. And I remember when I was a teenager becoming a member, and my minister told me, you've heard the story about the coals, I'm sure, that coals in a fire burn brightly together, but when one falls out, it goes cold and it dies, doesn't it? So the strength in community. And then we've got the helmet, the ski helmet, the helmet of salvation. A helmet in any sport protects our heads, doesn't it, and our brains from serious injury. And believe me, my ski helmet has a lot of dents in it from falling over. And I know I'd have had serious injury sometimes if I'd not had that helmet on. And so as Christians, we believe our spiritual salvation comes from God through Jesus, don't we? And it's through the sacrifice of God's Son that we know that we are children of God. We're a child of God. And then finally, the lacrosse stick, the sword of the Spirit. Why did I choose the lacrosse stick? Well, If you ever watch a game of lacrosse, and I've never played it, who's played lacrosse here? One or two, three. Now, correct me if I'm right, but you catch the ball in the net and you can run with it and you cradle it and you can move it around before you launch it, yeah? So it struck me that this is like the word of God, you know, we have to receive it, take it in, move it around a bit and before we actually share it. So that's why I thought the lacrosse stick was a good symbol for that. So Paul says the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. So which one of those is not the defensive one? The last one. That is the one offensive piece of equipment in the whole armour of God. So, we are people to proclaim the gospel of the good news, the gospel of peace through forgiveness and reconciliation. And we should be ready to do that wherever we go, whether it's we do it in here in Wilmslow or elsewhere. Question we can think of as we go through today and onward, where might we be being called to proclaim the good news, the gospel of peace today? Where in our communities needs good news? So they're not questions to be answered today, this minute. As a Christian community, there are always going to be those questions ongoing. Well, let's keep thinking about what kind of action we should be taking as we continue our collective Christian life together. We're going to sing our next hymn, which is 545, Be Thou My Vision. And this is the hymn that reminds us that it's God who helps us with that vision, the vision for the action. Be Thou My Vision. Let's stand and sing.
Thank you.
So we're just going to go back to context now. The context of Ephesus and when this reading was written, where it was written. Has anybody been to Ephesus? Yeah? So you'll know the buildings and the situation. So I've got two postcards here from Ephesus just to show us what it's like. Actually, the first image is not quite right because that building is not right next to the sea, but it just shows you the Aegean Sea in the background. So this is what it might say on the back of these postcards. Ephesus is the shopping centre of the ancient world. Located at the meeting point of both the major land and sea routes up to the east, Ephesus is a major commercial port with state-of-the-art facilities close to the Aegean Sea. And those facilities stop the port from silting up. We have the next one. Next postcard. The city's packed with impressive monuments, including the Temple of Artemis, one of the seven wonders of the world. The visitor should make a point of visiting the silversmiths and taking home a statue of the goddess, or spend time in the stadium, where, along with various entertainments, many exciting and fascinating riots take place. So that's just a little flavour of Ephesus. This is Artemis here, which is she's a Greek god of fertility, of hunting, all that business. And I don't think there's an equivalent Roman god. It could be Diana, but it's not quite the right juxtaposition. That's a make-up image of the Temple of Artemis, but you can see how big it was and how it featured in the Ephesians' city. So we know that Paul spent a long time in Ephesus, and he worked as a tent maker. And because of this great Temple of Artemis, there would be festival days where many people would come and go and go past his shop front on the main streets. They used to hire they were like arcades in the buildings, and he would sit and make his tents and talk to people. And of course, they'd come and they'd buy a tent or a gazebo, if you like, for their festival. And Paul would also hire a lecture room where he would lecture in the afternoon. There's lots of philosophers and similar learned people would go and speak in lecture rooms, and they were on a side street. And we also read in Acts, I think it's Acts 16, I didn't look it up, we read about the riot of the silversmiths. I don't know if any of you remember that one. And it was all to do with this Artemis figure here. Rioting because maybe this newfound philosophy that Paul was preaching about worshipping one God was going to take away their business. And Paul was about to make the speech of his life in this, if I go back, in the great amphitheatre there, but he was hurried away in fear of his life because these people were rioting, so he didn't actually get to make this big speech to all the city. But here we have a letter. And there's a lot of discussion about whether Paul wrote this letter or someone wrote it for him. Because at the time it was written, we know that Paul was in prison in Rome, and that's why he refers to being in chains. But it could have been a circular letter sent to some of the other new churches. And it's interesting that Christine, in her banners, all the words from here are from the letters, well, except from Peter, from Paul's letters. We've got Corinthians and we've got Colossians over here. And but regardless of whether Paul wrote it or somebody else wrote it for him, what Ephesians does, it gives us the introduction to Paul's ideas and theories. It's a good introduction. And the key theme of Ephesians is unity. And the astonishing claim that God unites everything in the universe through Jesus Christ. Heaven and earth brought together, God made flesh. And more than that, we are raised with Christ through the resurrection, so that everyone, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, could all have the same status, and that was the most radical teaching at the time. Of course, you know, it was the start of the Christian church. It's not all the learning that we've had over 2,000 years. And if we remember anything about Ephesians, it's that Christians are part of one body, that we should remain united in love, and that the followers of Jesus are given gifts, and we should recognise and use those gifts in support of one another to bring the gospel of peace. Well, I haven't got a postcard for Wilmslow, but it's on our doorstep, so I don't think we need a postcard. We can kill this now, John, this picture, if you like. Thank you. So if we look at the context of Wilmslow, and with the Bible, that's what we should do. We should look at the context of when the passage was written, but how is it speaking to us today? Because it is a living word, and it's a living word through that Spirit. So one of the things I did last year when we were thinking, you probably know I finished these studies now, I'm at the end. One of the things I did when we were thinking about mission was to do a community audit. So I just thought I'd share a couple of the things that I've learned along the way. And actually I shared some of this at the away day we had last year, but I just thought I'd refer to it again today. A community audit, you can do this by looking at the National Office for Statistics, and I did that for this area for 2011. And I found some really interesting facts about a 1 mile radius around this church. And noticeably, that 34% of our community, just around here, are aged between 25 to 49. 25% are aged over 65, and only 7% being between 15 and 24. So you might, you know, in those figures, when we look around our churches, not just this church but others, that age group, the third, you know, about a third of the community is in that missing age group from our churches. And I was staggered to realise that more than 50% have degrees or a higher equivalent. So, and the figures show that double the national average of senior management and professional people live here. So, what does that mean? We're high achievers, we're busy, we like to be active and productive. But it also means that we can be cash rich but time poor, can't it? Also, we've got transport links. We're a transient community. People move in and out. And, you know, perhaps these figures reveal that you know, that one of the reasons for the missing age groups in the church is the busyness, is that it's a transient community. And this age group doesn't have time to be volunteering, and especially as mums are working as well. So like Ephesus, we're a shopping centre, a communication suburb, links to the world, links to the capital, train links, airport. And as we walk up the streets, I can think of about 5 jewellery shops just on our doorstep. So we think back to Artemis and the silversmiths, we've got the jewellers on the doorstep, haven't we? Posh car dealerships, private healthcare. We're a predominantly middle-class affluent community with an extremely low total, what they call, deprivation score. So within all that, where might we, being called to proclaim the gospel of peace today, where in our communities needs good news? It's good to think about these things, you know, and when we're thinking about how we can use our building, our church. What are we called to do here? When I was finishing my studies this year, one of the most surprising things I did was to do a dissertation. Never in a month of Sundays was I going to do a dissertation. And moreover, I never thought I would be doing it on mindfulness. Now, I hope you're not getting fed up with this word, mindfulness, because I know Katie was talking about it last week as well. But I never thought I'd be doing a study on this. I was supposed to be studying Christian theology. And surely mindfulness is something that comes from outside our tradition. But anyway, surely mindfulness is just like prayer, isn't it? I'd like to mention one of the reasons I've become interested in pursuing mindfulness in the Christian context. The chap that started all this mindfulness movement was called John Kabat-Zinn, and it actually started back in the 70s, not recently in the last 20 years. And he's been instrumental in developing the modern mindfulness course. And he says that reports that by 2030, the World Health Organization warns that mental ill health will be the largest problem facing developed countries. So 2030 might seem 12 or so years away, but it seems to me that as I talk to friends that it's a problem with us now. And I don't think there are many families probably here that have not been touched by someone having mental ill health. And mindfulness is a tool that helps us to slow down and practice time to be still, to be quiet, to regroup, take stock of our thoughts, just enjoy being in the present, being aware of what's happening now. But just to be clear, mindfulness is not a new religion. We must be clear to make that distinction. Mindfulness is about meditation, about helping us to slow down. But it's not just a theory, something we can read about. It's a discipline. And we have to practice it to have any benefit. So just think, if we want to learn an instrument, we have to practice. We can't just know about it. If we want to drive a car, we have to get in the car and drive. We can't just read the manual. But isn't prayer also a practice as well? And this is where I want to come back to Ephesians. The three verses urging us to pray. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. And Paul says, or the writing says, pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me, so that I may know the boldness of the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. So Paul is telling the person who's writing for him, he wants people to pray for him. He wants people to know that he's praying for other people. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. So prayer is just as important as action for us to know where, when, and how to proclaim that gospel of peace. For without taking the time to be still, how will we ourselves know the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding? Prayer is our communication with God, our Creator, the one who gives us breath and life. What our study found for those who did the mindfulness course in the spring was that by practicing the mindfulness meditation, it was a tool to make us be still, to listen to this God-given breath, this ruach, this breath of God, which naturally led us into contemplative prayer, where words are often not needed, where we just sit in the presence of God for 5 minutes, 20 minutes or longer, not worrying about the past, not planning for the future, just enjoying this present God-given moment. So if you're interested in finding out more, just speak to Katie or myself. We are running more courses ongoing. So the other surprising thing I found out about myself was being called to pray, actually. I've always been a doer. I'm an active learner. My mother used to say I was hyperactive, that I couldn't sit down. So to be honest, I've never been good at sitting still and I'm praying. So I think I was just feeling more and more that God was calling me to do this, to pray. And it was a story that I heard on the radio a few years ago by the chair of the Cumbria district. He was talking about a lady that was in a church in Chile. I think Katie may even have met this lady. Just praying on her own. And through the prayer, others joined her. Then families came, and now it's a large community. And then it got me thinking about the other story in Acts, Lydia, the seller of the purple of cloth. She was there by the river having prayer where Paul went to pray with the ladies. And then after being a circuit steward, after some conversations, I felt called to pray in each circuit church. And that's how the Heartbeat started. And Heartbeat is our circuit prayer group that's coming to this church on 15th of September. So Saturday morning, 15th of September, just 1 hour. Please come and join us for 1 hour and pray in our church. Pray for this church and also the circuit community. So I'm sure God has a sense of humour. He's told me to make time to sit down and be still. Some wisdom from one of the mystics. Of course, going back to mindfulness and the mindfulness of God. For thousands of years, people have been going away into the desert to pray. And one of those mystics is Teresa of Avila, a great teacher of prayer 500 years ago, says this about prayer. She says, God has a garden and we are his tenant farmers. And our job is to get water to the flowers. The water is our prayer, and the flowers are the lives in God's service. And Teresa is clear that the water is always for the flowers. Prayer is always the handmaid of discipleship. And she even says that if our prayer doesn't lead to transform lives, then it actually might be bad for us. Prayer should lead to that communication with God and others. Prayer is the foundation on which everything is built. And prayer can be difficult, easy, long, short. But we just need to keep on doing it. Because often it will be prayer in the shadows where we experience most deeply this mystery of the gospel. Prayer teaches us how to live. And prayer isn't a competitive sport. Prayer is individual to each one of us. And that's something also that our mindfulness courses were teaching us. Deep, disciplined praying must lie at the heart of any serious following of Jesus. We need to know Christ in order to make Christ known to others. And the prayer is always for the flowers. I just want to finish with some words from a contemporary Christian leader of the Church of England, Justin Welby, who says this about prayer and renewal. If we want to see things changed, it starts with prayer. It starts with a new spirit of prayer, using all the traditions, ancient and modern. And when it comes, it will be linked to what has gone before, but it will look different. Because it's new renewal for new times. God's created community is perfectly designed for its time and place. It always, almost always comes from below. It comes from Christians seeking Christ. How might we be being called to proclaim the gospel of peace in a busy world? The weapons for battle are not showy, flashy, or Hollywood-style superhero. They're sober, they're defensive. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation. And the only offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit, God's word, and all to be surrounded in prayer. We started this morning with words from Psalm 84. How lovely are your dwelling place, is your dwelling place, didn't we? May this be a space where all are welcome and wish to dwell and abide. Amen. I'm just going to have some time to be quiet now. I'm going to start with some prayer. We are actually going to pray, and then we're going to have a piece of music before we finish with our final hymn. So let's pray, and then we're going to listen to some music. A prayer from Teresa of Avila. Christ has no body now on earth but mine. Mine are the only hands with which he can do his work. Mine are the only feet with which he can go about the world. Mine are the only eyes through which his compassion can shine forth upon a troubled world. Christ has no body now on earth but mine. And some words from St. Augustine. Christ, be behind me. Lord, I commit my failures into your hands, and I bring for your healing the people and situations, the wrongs and the hurts of the past. Give me courage, strength and generosity to let go and move on, leaving the past behind me, leaving the present to the full. Lead me always to be positive, as I trust the past to your mercy, the present to your love, and the future to your providence. Amen. And now we say our prayers for others. Will you respond when I say, may they be built up in your love and strength? Will you respond, Lord, we pray in your spirit. Lord, we pray in your spirit. O God, who answers prayer, we hear the words of Paul the Apostle, who encourages us to pray on all occasions and with all kinds of prayers and requests. We pray for communities that have seen tragedy, for vulnerable people who struggle to face what life throws at them. May they be built up in your love and strength. Lord, we pray in your spirit. We pray for people who suffer for their faith, for ministers and evangelists who seek to spread your word, for us all as we share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. May they and we be built up in your love and strength. Lord, we pray in your spirit. We pray for people who feel bound by chains of unemployment and poverty, chains of disability or illness, chains of sorrow. And in the quiet, we lift up to God those on our hearts this morning. May they be built up in your love and strength. Lord, we pray in your spirit. And we pray for ourselves when we feel vulnerable. May they and we be built up in your love and strength. Lord, we pray in your spirit. Amen. Going to lift the tempo again now. Our final hymn is one from the Salvation Army. I thought it would fit well with the theme of the armour of God. So we've even got the Salvation Army band playing for us, virtue of the track. And I guarantee it's going to give you an earworm for the week. But that's okay, because we're encouraged to go in the strength of the Lord. Let's stand and sing. I'm sure you'll get the hang of it. I had to do a track last year for him and I found that one. Okay. Let us go out in peace to love and serve the Lord. Lord Jesus, be a bright flame before me, a guiding star above me, a smooth path below me, today, tonight, and forever. Amen. And I believe coffee is in C1 and C2 today. Thank you.